And our partners at the New York Times, Gail Collins, a columnist for the New York Times, spoke with us at the top of the hour. You know, here's a character, Gail, and thanks for staying with us. Here's a character who really is in the middle of a personal tragedy, yet it has very serious implications for the Republican Party, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I don't know that losing Mark Sanford as a possible presidential candidate is all that much of a blow, given the fact that he's a guy who can't apparently emotionally hold up under a battle over the stimulus package. I don't know what he'd do if he had Iran and North Korea and everybody else knocking at his door. But
yikes.
It's bad thinking, you know. All of our possible candidates are falling like flies, one after the other.
If he'd gone to Pyongyang, that would have outdone going to Argentina, I think.
Boy, he'd have been gone for a long time.
Well, let me set up a premise, and you can argue it if you like. We're sort of assembling a Governor's Hall of Fame. Our listeners are nominating people all hour long. But there is a sense, at least around these offices, that there's something going on with governors. Here's a governor you may recognize.
I'm assuming from your answer that you're categorically denying that you ever had an affair with Jennifer Flowers.
I've said that before, and so has she.
Okay, there, of course, Bill Clinton, pre-presidential Bill Clinton. And here's one you may recognize.
There's a lot of media saying that I'm a disgrace for being here. But I'll tell you this. I'm proud I'm a wrestler. I'm proud I was a wrestler. And I'm proud to be here tonight.
So, Gail Collins, I mean, Jesse Ventura didn't get involved in any scandals.
He's sort of well-balanced by the standards that we're talking about today.
But governors are characters in America. You've got even George Wallace, you know, staring down the National Guard on the steps.
Jim Folsom and all of those folks down there, especially the southern governors and the populist governors back in the day. You know, the Kirk Fordyce, do you remember Kirk
sure.
Fordyce?
Yeah.
Who vanished on his election night, his re-election night. And nobody could find him, and he ditched his security. And he wound up in a car crash on the highway, and then later everybody discovered he was out with his girlfriend in Memphis at the time. And that led to kind of a wonderful, if you're into these things, fight about whether the first lady would leave the governor's mansion, and she was refusing to do so, and he was demanding that she go. And he was kicked off as co-chairman of the Dan Quayle for President Committee.
There's a big job.
Those were the days.
There's a huge job.
Yeah, that's about as low as you can go. I mean, it's all for the Dan Quayle committee, guys.
Well, what is it about the governors and the politics in state houses? I mean, it's a huge power in a small domain. Is that the combination that attracts these kinds of characters? And, you know, we could include Sarah Palin in this list. I mean, you know, she's not involved in that kind of scandal, but, you know, is an unusual, eccentric character.
Yeah, you do tend to get people who there's a more wide variety of people than you would often get in legislatures. You know, in legislatures, you get people who at least fancy that they can work together, you know, in a group. But with governors, it's sort of the opposite. You get these sort of individualists who think that they were meant to lead and who come from all kinds of different backgrounds, and of course, all the states are weird and different anyway. So maybe that's how we get so many. But now you think about it, John Edwards was governor, wasn't he, before he became a senator? Or did he become a senator first?
I don't know. I'll have to check
There's
on that one.
There's a lot of senators. You're talking so much about governors today. But you got to give the senators a little time too.
Yeah, I think if we spend time researching, this premise sort of begins to fall. But here's one of the issues, and Governor Mark Sanford talked about it yesterday, and we can sort of end on this issue. Take a listen.
It's because what I have found in this job is that one desperately needs a break from the bubble, wherein every word, every moment is recorded, just to completely break. And I've found that to be true in trips to the farm or in trips other places further afield.
Now, there's Mark Sanford describing his frustration at being in the public eye. It's sort of the Gary Hart scenario for a senator there, where being in the bubble is a frustration, and it encourages these bad behaviors that result in scandals and bring down the political career.
And that's why I ran for public office. That's because I hated being in the bubble so very, very much.
Ah, yes. Well, there is that. There is that, exactly. So it's all a bunch of malarkey, and you know... That's how your columns always end, Gail. You know, it's like, this is what they're saying, but it's all a bunch of malarkey.
We have more important things to do.
And that is true. And that is absolutely true. But, you know, thank God for governors. Gail Collins, columnist for our partner, The New York Times. Thanks so much for joining
us. Good to be here.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.